Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, kicking off another week of action by giving all new customers a can't-miss offer. Bet just $1, that's $1, on any football game this week, and you get $150 in free bets instantly. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and make sure you use code KSN. That's code KSN at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, new customers only, restrictions apply. In partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino, see DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. I'm Jim Galante, along with T. Frank Carr, the guy who's critical of all Penn State fans. That's him, T. Frank, not me.
I'm quickly becoming very unlikable to Penn State fans. I can feel it. And that's okay.
You are, T. Frank. It seems like every week you start the show by being critical of Penn State fans.
I just don't get worked up about stuff. That's the bottom line is, you know, I don't get worked up about things the same way. And then when I get this wall of emotion coming at me from Penn State fans, I'm like, whoa, slow down. Like, slow down. And that's really basically what I'm trying to say. That's all.
I simply opened the show, T. Frank, by asking you about the running game, and you turned it into criticism of every Penn State football fan. So, listeners, judge for yourself who's been the emotional one here. Not me. That guy. He's the one taking shots at you. All right, T. Frank, let's get to something a little more positive. Let's talk about this passing game. Sean Clifford, the receivers, I put out a statistic that I thought was incredible, starting with Jahan Dotson, Parker Washington. They were targeted 12 times. Sean Clifford completed 12 of those 12 targets, like 250 yards between them, three touchdowns. It was tremendous performance by those guys.
It was, and that's where, to me, I want to give credit to Villanova because they came into this game and they said, we're going to play football. We're going to play football the way that we play football, and we're not trying to augment anything and take anything away from Sean Clifford or make this or that happen. They played football straight up. And they lived and died by it because when they would pressure, and this is the part where, to me, the significant thing that came out of this game was, yes, they were wide open passes at times because those players, those receivers were so talented, but Sean Clifford was accurate with every single one of those footballs. Under pressure, against the blitz, clean, and on the run. He has never done that before. He has never been able to be accurate to all levels of the field consistently throughout an entire football game. And he was able to find those guys and deliver the football. And to me, that's two games in a row he's done that now. I am, so as much as Penn State fans are fixated on the rushing game, I'm fixated on, is Sean Clifford for real? Is this transition from what he did in the Auburn game and some of the good decisions he was making against Wisconsin that really weren't showing up because of some accuracy issues downfield, is he really that guy this year? Because if he is, hear me out. Penn State can win any football game that he plays like that. Surprise, the quarterback's more important. And he's been playing like that. So in this game where he had basically in any situation, and the part to me that was really impressive was he was able to diagnose blitzes as they were happening, find his guy, throw an accurate ball, sometimes off platform, on a line, and get Parker Washington for 57 yards, leading him into those yards. Those were all the things that were happening. So Sean Clifford putting together the most complete game of his entire career. That was the storyline. That's the headline to me coming out of this game. But it's kind of a no-win situation, right? Because if Penn State doesn't roll 70-0 against Villanova, and the running game has some issues, that's what we're going to focus on because it all is supposed to work that way. I guess my point has been, he's never done that. And he did that this week. So that to me is a significant step forward in the more important part of the game for Penn State. And I've been told, and not to bring this up again, but multiple people have told me in either comments or personal conversations or things on some of my other shows, you can't win in the Big Ten unless you have a dominant running game. Or you can't, if you can't run, you can't win. Penn State has not been able to run in games, and they've been in almost every single Big Ten game under James Franklin. So that doesn't really hold water. Being able to pass block, that matters. And that's the part we're still going to find out about. That's the part to me that is still an incomplete picture, is whether Caden Wallace and Rashid Walker can hold up on the edges versus some better pass rushers. Because the first game, when they had their biggest test, they didn't quite measure up in the first half. Going forward, when you face those big-time defenses, that to me is a big question.
I believe you answered one of my questions when you talked about, do they have to have a running game? And the answer is not necessarily. If they, especially if they're able to do, like James Franklin said, some of these quick passes to, whether it's Parker Washington or Jahan Dotson on the outside, is actually more an extension of the running game. But let's switch over to Sean Clifford. In the past, you have used expressions like, Sean Clifford, we know what he is what he is.
Yep.
Have you changed your opinion? Has he shown you enough in these first four games for you to say, you know what? Sean Clifford is not who we thought he was. He's actually a better quarterback than we thought.
Well, that's why I'm flashing the lights this week. That's why I'm blowing the foghorn. That's why, because yes, he is starting to change my opinion. It's probably a week or two early for me to say I was wrong, but it's already coming out of my mouth. I've already written those words that I'm probably wrong. You know, that's the answer. Yeah. After the first 2 weeks of the season against Ball State, where he was not clean, and this was my mistake of forgetting he's in a new system. He's in a brand new system. He's with a new offensive coordinator. In the first month of the season, Trace McSorley didn't play quite this well in 2016 with probably more high-end talent, you know, as far as extremely talented players. Now, I would say that this is a more talented team overall for Penn State football, and I'm making those comparisons to 2016 because you now have a quarterback that can operate at a reasonably predictable level, it feels. You're getting the same thing week in and week out against pressure and against blitzes and in tough situations. Sean Clifford, and I don't care if it's Villanova or if it's Wisconsin, he's been making the right decision with the football. And sometimes that is eating it and running out of bounds for a third and nine punt. So, yeah, he's starting to, I might have to eat those words. And if you're a Penn State football fan, that's why I'm a little bit like, guys, you're looking at the wrong thing. You're looking at the completely wrong thing. The one thing, and I will say this about the running game. One thing that they've had that they do not have, and this has, again, been a focus of mine going all the way back to when we were talking in the spring. They don't have an explosive runner to make up for the inefficiencies. The running game for Penn State has never been efficient. It's never been something that has been or dominant or something that down in and down out you can count on. Even in 2019, they had a lot of stretches in games where it was not efficient. Right now, they don't have a Journey Brown. They don't have a Miles Sanders or anybody to rip off big runs. John Lovett is starting to be that guy. But he doesn't even have the physical profile that those guys did to be a big-time playmaker. He is a good football player. Kevon Lee potentially has that if he can run straight forward and break tackles. But right now, he's not doing that. And again, Noah Cain is not the same guy he was in 2019. So he's going to be an efficient player, but they need to find somebody who can gain that edge back where they're not efficient and make up for some of the mistakes on the offensive line, and they don't quite have that guy yet. That's the part of the running game that I think that I'm focusing on is, can they find somebody to do above the offensive blocking scheme? And right now the answer is no, and that part I think you should be concerned about.
All right, in the couple minutes we have left in this segment, T. Frank, let's look forward a little bit. Let's look at Indiana. First of all, I think it is a revenge game. I think James Franklin is aware of what Indiana did to them last year. I think the players are aware. I think they're going to be out for blood. But let's talk about Indiana itself. Let's talk about Michael Penix, the quarterback. I believe he had off-season surgery or was coming off an injury. Is he the same guy he was last year? Is he just as dangerous as he was a year ago?
No. So there's a lot of stuff that goes into that. Last year, I think they were a little more talented. That was their year. And I haven't done my full film study on Indiana yet. I've watched a couple of, literally just a handful of plays. But he's pressing. He's holding the ball longer, and that was a big thing last year, was he got the ball out quickly. Now he's holding the ball longer, and he's forcing things downfield, which is leading to all of the interceptions. In the games where they've played actual opponents in Iowa and Cincinnati, he's thrown six interceptions. So he's pressing. And then when it comes to his ability to be efficient with the football, he is not efficient with the football. And yeah, it's kind of the same thing of what's the injury this year with Michael Penix? Because that's what I asked to start the season. Is like I didn't pay attention at the end of last year, but he got injured and it is affecting his play, I do think. And I, you know, I'll get into that this week. But they just in general don't have the same efficiency on offense. It's the exact thing, same thing that happened last year to Sean Clifford. They're having mirror images of each other in 2020 and 2021.
How about the other side of the ball? We talked quite a bit here about what other teams have been doing to Penn State, essentially taking away the run, and then Penn State exploited that. Do you think there will be a shift now going forward after Sean Clifford's been so impressive and the passing game so impressive the last couple games? How do you expect Indiana to play defensively?
So Micah McFadden, the middle linebacker, is a star. He is a phenomenal football player, but he can't do it all on his own. Indiana, I was talking about tight fronts and three down fronts. They play a traditional front, so they play a four down front. So I think schematically that'll alleviate some of the pressure, take a little bit of a lid off the running game. And Kevon Lee, there might be more rushing lanes inside for him, where he's a little bit more natural of a decision maker. And then in the passing game, to me, this is a test from a mental standpoint for Sean Clifford, because one of the things that Tom Allen does really well is make tough reads pre and post snap with the secondary. They're a good secondary. They play well together. They've only allowed one passing touchdown so far this season. That, from a mental aspect, is going to be a test, but there's no, they don't have the talent to match up with Penn State from a physical standpoint, but they didn't last year either. And they still were in that game because of the things they could do schematically. To me, that's going to be the question. Is Sean Clifford, this is another test from a mental standpoint, has he progress to the point he can beat this? And I, you know, based on what I've seen, I think so.
All right, that is it for quarter number two. Stick around, quarter number three, we're going to ask T. Frank.
DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, is kicking off another week of action by giving all new customers a can't-miss offer. Bet just $1 on any football game this week and receive $150 in free bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code KSN. That's code KSN at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Restrictions apply. In partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football, flannel, beards, tailgating. Oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Cause it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.